Amen. What a great God we serve. You have your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We have been going through these 10 commandments. And I want to tell you that we had some copies made. And on your way out, we have one per household. We'd like for you to get a copy of these 10 commandments. And maybe you can display them somewhere in your home or just somewhere where they can be seen. And I just think it's good that we understand the importance of the 10 commandments. And so that's why I feel that the Lord would have me to go through these again. You say, well, I know the 10 commandments. Well, I'm glad that you do. You say, well, I keep the 10 commandments. Again, I'm glad that you do. But we need to teach them to others, in particular to our children. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 7, teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, because it's going to help them to reverence God. It's going to help them to live a life of righteousness. It's going to help them to have respect. And God knows that we need respect in this world in which we live. And so we need to listen. Children are not born with respect. Children are taught respect. Children are not born with reverence. Children are taught reverence. And many of the valuable things, most if not all, of the valuable things that will be in your children, my children, our grandchildren, will come because we teach them. And so I pray God would help us to teach them these wonderful truths. We have looked at the first two commandments. Now, before I get into the third commandment today, I want to just, by way of, I guess, remembrance, I want us to remember some things. First of all, the Ten Commandments are not just all negative. I think sometimes when people hear the Ten Commandments, they think, oh, well, that's that list of things that we shouldn't do. Well, first of all, it's more than things you shouldn't do. It's some things you should do. But I want you to understand, in life, in particular, in God's commandments, it's not just the negative or the positive. There's always the other side. In other words, when God says, thou shalt not, what he's inferring is, thou shalt, right? The first commandment, thou shalt have none other gods before me, right? Depending on whether you read in Deuteronomy or Exodus, thou shalt have no other gods, which is negative. Don't do it. But the positive is, I'm your God. I'm the Lord thy God, right? And then he talked about, in the second commandment, he talked about worship. And he said, don't worship me falsely. Now, this is where a lot of people get off base here. You know, they think, well, you know what, I'll worship God according to the dictates of my own conscience. Now, you'll worship God according to the dictates of the truth of his word, or your worship will not be accepted. And so we have to understand that, okay? We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. We're to humbly worship the Lord, and the Bible lays that out for us. And so we've looked at those first two commandments. We've looked at, well, the negative side, no other gods, and no false worship. Not only are we to know that God is God, but we're to know that we're to worship him, but we're also to know how to worship him. But we're also going to look at this third one of not just what not to do, but what we are to do, but this third commandment. A lot of times people just narrow it down and says, well, you know what, you shouldn't curse God's name. Can I tell you, there's a lot more into this third commandment than just adding a curse word to the end of God's name. Now, I do want to tell you before we get into this commandment, God is very serious about his commandments. Man doesn't seem to take God's commandments very seriously. As a matter of fact, man has just about relegated God's commandments to God's suggestions, if even that. But they're not suggestions at all. They're commandments, and God expects us to keep them. And so as we look at this third commandment, I want you to look down at your Bible in verse number 11. Verse number 11. And by the way, before we read this, I look out over our congregation, and I see Mr. and Mrs. Marks here today. Congratulations. Amen. To Mr. and Mrs. Corey Marks. Good to have y'all back in our service, and we celebrate with you on your union together in marriage. We had another couple get married yesterday, and they're away on their honeymoon, and that is Grant and Shelby. So we're just getting them married left and right. Amen? Amen. I got to share this quick story with you because it's one of the the humorous thing, I've had so many, I'm going to write a book one day. I've had so many humorous things happen in my ministry. So there's a guy, I walk in my office when I was pastor in South Carolina, and there was this man in there, and he was waiting on me, and I could tell he was kind of nervous. You know, he was wringing his hands, and he said, "I need to talk to you, Pastor. I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, shoot, you know, what you got going on?" He said, and I'm going to use some fake names for, you know, to protect people in case they're watching. He said, "I've noticed that Cindy is looking at Stephen, and I think she likes him." And I said, "Okay, let's see here now. Cindy is like 16, right? Yeah, 16. And Stephen's like 16, 17, right? Yeah." I said, "You know what? I don't understand what the problem is here. I mean, I really, you know, in a day in which we live, you better be thankful that Cindy's not looking at Barbara." Amen. Amen. You know, brethren, that's natural. I think sometimes folks think, you know, that our young people are just supposed to grow up and have zero feelings, and just all of a sudden that's a light bulb goes off. "Hey, I think I'll get married next month." No. Listen, God has built these things within us. And it's just normal for your children to grow up. I see moms kind of shaking her head. There's some dads back there saying, nah. You know, "My daughter ain't growing up, preacher." Yes, she is. And there's nothing you can do about it except for train them. Train them the God to worship. Train them that that's the most important decision to make in life, the God that they worship. And then what's number two? The person that they marry. That's the second most important decision in your life. Who you will worship will be the first, and who you will marry will be the second. I'm going to keep saying that from this pulpit until God moves me away from this pulpit, because it's very, very important. Now, when we look down at this third commandment, God said, "I want you to know I take my name seriously. I want you using my name frivolously and carelessly." This is not just about tagging a curse word on the end of God's name. There's a lot here, and I want to get it in today. So let's get to it, okay? Look at verse number 11. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." God said, "I want you to not use my name vainly. Don't take my name in vanity. That's what you shouldn't do." Now, the flip side of that, I believe, is I want you to use my name in victory. Okay? Don't use it in vanity. Use it in victory. So don't use my name. I want you to use my name. As a matter of fact, I want you to wear my name. I want you to be called by my name. I want you to call on my name. Amen. But I don't want you to use it wrong. I don't want you to use it vainly. Now, when you look at this, before we get into, I have just really two points. My introduction is going to be about as long as my message. We're going to learn how not to use God's name in vanity. And we got to remember now, these commandments were given to what? Look in chapter 6. Look, if you would, in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Look down there, if you would, in verse number 7. He said, in verse number 7 of chapter 6, he said this, "Thou shalt teach them," what? The commandments. These 10 commandments, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He said, "I want you to teach them." If you'll look on in verse number 8, he talked about how to wear them. And I've skipped over one. He said in verse number, let me find it here. In verse number 2, I think it is. He said, "I want you to teach them," in verse number 2 of chapter 6, "I want you to know them, and I want you to teach them to thy son and to thy son's sons." I want you to keep them. I want you to teach them to your sons, and I want you to teach them to your son's sons. I want you to teach your sons and your son's sons, I want you to teach your children and your grandchildren about my name. Amen. How to honor it. And how to wear it. And how not to use it. Don't you take God's name in vain. Don't you take God's name in vain. That's what he's saying. He said, I want you to know now. Just as he said in the last commandment, he said, I will visit the iniquities of the fathers that hate me and that will not worship me the way I say to worship me. He said, I'm going to visit you now. Now, that's not the kind of visit you want from God. Now, I thank God that our God is a loving, compassionate God, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. But now, you don't want this kind of visit from God. And he said, I will show mercy unto thousands that will worship me right and that will keep my commandments and that will teach them to their children. And he said, I also want you to know that when it comes to my name, I take it serious. And he said, I will not hold him. Look at what he said here in verse number 11 of chapter 5. He said, I will not hold him guiltless that taketh my name in vain. What's in a name? What's so important about this name? You know, back in Bible days, and we talk about this all the time, but there's a reason they did it. Back in Bible days, the people prayed about naming their children. They just didn't name their children, especially believers, especially those of the nation of Israel, especially those of the followers of Jehovah. They didn't just name their children. I mean, they sought God's mind on this matter. And a lot of times there was a prophecy attached to their name, and they wanted their name to match their character, or their character to match their name. I think the most evident one is the name of Jesus. Listen, the angel named Jesus. Read the scripture in Matthew chapter number 1. An angel came to Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? He said, because I want his name to match his character. He's the Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins. You know, we've quit really praying about what to name our children, and I'm not trying to throw guilt on anyone. We just kind of look at children as ours. They're ours. Well, they're God's, and he has lent them to us to train them and to train them in the way they should go. See, God sends every person into this world. Listen to me now. God sends everyone into this world with a purpose, and God has a plan for them. And we've just kind of detached God from that and said, we're going to make all the decisions. Well, you need and I need to seek wisdom from heaven about these things, you see. Amen. What's in a name? What's in a name? Well, I thought about the name of God, and here's some things I want you to write down, okay? Number one, when I think of this verse of Scripture, I want you to notice what he said. Are you looking at verse 11? Notice this, if you would, in verse number 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the, you see this, the Lord. Now, there's a good name. It's all capital letters, and we're going to come back to that. And then he said, the Lord thy God. He said it twice. He said the latter part, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The Lord thy God. The Lord. That word means Jehovah. We're going to talk a little bit about that name. What do you know about Jehovah? I hope you know a little bit about Jehovah. Because God said, this name is a name I'm very concerned about, and I want you to know about this name. Don't you take the name of Jehovah in vain. Don't you use that name carelessly or lightly or frivolously. No, that's a name to be honored. That's a name to be extolled and exalted. As a matter of fact, God said, I want to be your God. I want to be personal with you. Notice what he said again in verse number 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, watch this now, not the God, but the name of the Lord, thy God. Make him personal. Make him personal. What's the word Lord mean? When you see a capital L, all capital letters, O-R-D, it means Jehovah. It's translated from Yahweh, which simply means this. It simply means that this God is everlasting. Pastor BJ alluded to it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. And it means that he is a covenant-keeping God. And that he wants to enter into a covenant. He has promises. Now listen to me. He has promises in a covenant. that he wants to enter in. He wants to be personal with you. I want you to hold your place here and go back to Genesis chapter 1 just for a moment, and we'll see the difference between the Lord thy God. The word God there is Elohim. It is a word that means almighty, creator. This God is the creator. He is a God of power. He is a God of strength. And what God is saying here is he is saying, don't you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He is saying this. He's saying, I'm the Lord. I have promises. I want to enter into a covenant. I want a relationship with you. And I have the strength. I'm not just the Lord. I'm the Lord thy God. I have the power. I have the strength to fulfill my promises. I just don't make promises. I'm going to fulfill them. I'm the Lord thy God. I'm the Lord. I want to enter into a relationship, but I'm also God, which means I have power to create, power to bring everything out of nothing. That's who I am. And I want to enter into a relationship with you. And I have the power to keep that bond and to keep that relationship and to keep my promises to you. What a God we serve. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see this over and over again. It talks about in God made and God made and God made and God said and God said and God saw. You'll see all that in Genesis chapter number 1. G-O-D, God in the beginning, God. There he is in verse number 1. You go down, look at verse number 3, and God said. And then you look at verse number 4, and God saw. This almighty God, this creator God, is making things, bringing everything out of nothing. Oh, I pray that as Pastor BJ said this morning, that each one of us would get hold of that. Our God brought everything out of nothing. If we could just get in Genesis 1:1, we wouldn't have a problem not only with the rest of the Bible, but with the rest of life. You say, you mean I wouldn't have any problems? I didn't say you wouldn't have any problems. I said you wouldn't have a problem with it. Because you would know that God has our best interests in mind and that he wants to enter into a relationship. He keeps promises. He has the power, even in our down sitting, even in our trouble, even in our hardship. God has the power to see us through. All through chapter 1 of Genesis, are you there? God says, this is it right here. God said, God said, God said, all the way. Then you get to chapter number 2. And something happens. You know what happens in chapter 2? God made man. And God said, I want to keep a covenant. And so I'm going to make someone I can keep a covenant with. I want to have a relationship. And so he doesn't use the word God. Look in chapter 2. Look, if you would, in chapter 2. This is the first time this word is used in verse number 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God. That's the first time you'll see that word. Up until this time, it's just been God. But now it's the Lord God. Why? God's getting ready to do something. God's getting ready to make man. Look down in verse number 7. It's not God that made man. Look at it now. It's the Lord God. Look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why? Because God said, I want to enter into a covenant with man. I'm making man to enter into a covenant with him. See, God said, I brought you into this world. I've given you everything that you need for life and eternity. Don't you use my name in vanity. I want you to use my name in victory. I'm giving you dominion. Don't you use my name in vanity. You use my name in victory. See, God's given us victory. But we've chosen to use God's name in vanity. And God wants us to use the name in victory. And so what's in a name? Go back, if you would, to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to share some things with you. What's in a name? The Lord. You know anything about Jehovah titles? Dads, And if you're a single mom here, I would encourage you to get your children around and go through Jehovah titles with them. So what's a Jehovah title? Oh, Jehovah titles are wonderful. See, God wants to manifest himself to us. Are you hearing me this morning? If we're not careful, we'll let this flesh and the enemy and the world, we'll let them have us to form an opinion that God's this distant deity in the cosmos, you know, that just wants to just tinker with us a little bit and kind of introduce himself to us, but then leave us to himself. No, that's not the God that we serve. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible wants to have an intimate relationship with every one of his creatures. Amen. Insomuch that he took on himself a robe of flesh and came to redeem sinful men back to himself. That God wants to have a relationship with you. And so the scripture says that God spends his names. There's so many names for God. And he says, I'm using these names to manifest myself. I want to help define me to you. Pastor BJ said this morning, and I concur with you, Pastor BJ, I can't get my mind around God. Hey, man, I mean, listen, God's big, and I can't get my mind around him. But God said, listen, if you'll just work with me, I want to identify who I am to you. I want to manifest. I want to describe myself to you. And he did so with his names. Let me give you just a couple of examples and then we'll move on. Jehovah titles. Say, what do you mean by Jehovah titles? Anytime you see the capital L-O-R-D, let me give you just a couple of examples. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 22. I think this may be the most popular one. Are you in Genesis 22? Say, well, I'm getting there. Okay, well, I'll give you a little time. Genesis 22. Most, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know a little bit about Genesis 22, where Abraham took Isaac on Mount Moriah to offer him. And the Bible says that God wanted to show himself to Abraham in a particular certain way. And so in Genesis 22, look if you would at verse number 14. This is a Jehovah title. I have a copy here. I'd be glad to make you a copy. You can research it yourself. The Bible has many names for God. I mean, it is outstanding to do a study on this. I will guarantee you a blessing, okay? Now, that's not easy to guarantee, but I'm doing it on the authority of God's Word and not my research, but it's my research of God's Word. Notice, if you would, Genesis 22. Look at verse 14. You know the backdrop of the story. If you don't, God has asked Abraham to do a very difficult thing. He said, I want you to offer thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, on the altar, a burnt offering. And Moses said, I'm going to do it. Abraham said, I'm going to do it. And Abraham did it. And as he got there, Isaac said, yeah, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the offering? Look at verse number 14. After Abraham had told Isaac that the Lord would provide himself, God said, you got that right. Because I want you to know something, Abraham. I didn't call you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to leave you to yourself. I didn't call you to leave your family and your land to leave you hapless and helpless. You're mine, Abraham, and I'm your father, and I'm going to take good care of you. And I want to say to every child of God in this place today, God hasn't called you into a life where he will not provide for you. God will provide every need that you have. You look at a preacher that I can stand before you and say without reservation, God has met every need that I have. God has come through in my life these 40 plus years that I have known him as my personal Savior. God has never, I said, never let me down. Never He's always provided. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. The Bible says when God provided himself that offering, when God provided that ram there, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. See, that's a Jehovah title. Jehovah Jireh. You say, what's all that mean? Well, look, follow on. This is how you find the Jehovah title. As it is said to this day in the Mount of the Lord. You see our word there? That's the name that God doesn't want you taking in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, thy God, in vain. He said, I want you to know who I am. You use my name in victory, not in vain. I'll provide for you. If you'll wait on me and be strong and of good courage, if you will let your faith loose and trust me, I will provide for you. Amen, church?
Amen.
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 Why? Because Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you today that the Lord will provide, brethren.
Amen.
God will provide. Some of you need to hear that this morning. You're in a tough place. You're boxed in. You're facing some things that you just don't know what's going to happen and how you're going to meet something or meet a need, or you have a financial or a physical or a family situation. I'm here to tell you that the Lord thy God will provide. Jehovah title. Turn over. We'll look at one more and then we'll move on. Turn, if you would, to Exodus. And I'll give you this list sometime. I had them written down. I was going to go through each one of them. Look, if you would, in Exodus. Look, if you would, in chapter 26. Would you do that? 15, I'm sorry. Exodus 15 in verse number 26. Exodus. If you're interested in these Jehovah titles, like I said, you can look them up yourself, or you could, I'll give you this, I'll make a copy of these for you. In Exodus chapter number 15, God wanted the children of Israel to know something. Children of Israel had been down in bondage in Egypt. And there was a lot of affliction, a lot of hardship. And they had watched Pharaoh and his people be plagued with diseases and plagues. And God said, I want you to know that I'm going to take care of you in every way. And I want you to notice a message he gave them. Some of you need to hear this message today. The message that God has right here. This is a Jehovah title. This is a way God wants to reveal himself to you. Look in chapter 15 and verse number 26. Exodus 15 and verse number 26. Exodus 15 and verse number 26. The scripture says this. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. There it is. The Lord thy God. Don't take that name in vain. And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now here it is. Here's the Jehovah title. For I am the Lord. You see that word? I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You believe God can heal?
Amen.
I'm not opposed to going to a doctor. Been to one. Been about 40 years ago. No, I've been to a doctor. I'm not opposed to doctors. Now, some people, I don't believe in doctors. Well, whatever. We're not. This is not the time to debate that. All right? But I do. I will tell you this. As God's people, you need to pray before you call. I'm going to say that again. You need to pray before you call. You ask God. Don't you short circuit what God can do in your life. Don't you not give God an opportunity to do a miracle in your life. Amen. Now, you may pray and God will say, make that call.
Amen.
But don't you make that call without praying. Why? Because he said, I am the Lord. Look at it, verse number. We either believe this or we don't, brethren. We're talking about what's in a name. What's in a name? There are so many ways that God wants to reveal himself. I'm the God that will provide for you. I'm the God that will bring healing to you. Healing. God has brought healing to my body. Can I tell you, listen, and you might make light of this. That's okay. It doesn't matter. I know what God's done for me. When God saved me, my mind was burnt. God restored my mind. You say, preacher, did he do it? As God is my witness. I'm telling you, God did that for me. God did that for me. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. Never. Never. He is the God that can heal. God can do it, brethren. Oh, I know what they say. Well, the day of miracles are over. Listen, don't you buy into that. Don't you buy into that. If God saved you, that's the greatest miracle that God could do in your life. Everything else is just light work for God. God saved you. God restored you. By the way, you see that word healed? Look at it in verse number 26. I am the Lord that healeth. You see that word? It means to make healthy. It means to restore. Amen. God can do that. God said, I want to reveal myself to you that way too. So we go back now to Deuteronomy. And there's a whole list of Jehovah titles in the scripture. The Lord our banner. Here, as you go back to Deuteronomy, when you're finding your, while you're finding your place there, the scripture teaches Psalm 23, the Lord, there's a Jehovah title. When you look at that, don't look at it now. It's capital L-O-R-D. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, that's a Jehovah title. It's God saying that I want to be your leader. I want to comfort you. I want to take care of you. God said, I want to manifest myself to you in that way. When you look up that word, the Lord is my shepherd, listen to me now. In that word shepherd, it's friend. Friend. God said, I want to be your friend. Amen. We miss out on what God wants for us and how God wants to reveal himself to us when we do not look into his name. So we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 11. And it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. So God said, I want to be personal with you. And then God said this. He said, I want to show you my power. Right? You see, that's what God said, I want to show you. That's what's in a name. The power of God's name. We've forgotten that there's name. Listen, there's power in that name. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. There's power in that name. Remember when, well, let's just look at it right here. Look at verse number 6. Of chapter number 5. I am, here it is, the Lord thy God. Don't you forget, he said. Don't use my name in vain now. We're talking about God's name right now. We're just talking about his name. I'm just going to get the introduction this morning, but that's okay. I want you to get this. We know so little about God. I believe that's why a lot of folks don't trust him no more than we do. Is we know so little about him. Get in this book. God, this is the revelation of God right here, brethren. God said, I want you to know me. I want you to know what I can do. Do you understand the power that we have tapped into? When we come to him and we yield ourselves to him, we are tapped into a power. What kind of power, preacher? Well, I'm not going to turn there, but I want you to write this chapter down, Exodus chapter 3. You look there at chapter number 5. Look at verse number 6. God said, I am the Lord. Verse number 6, thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God said, don't forget now what I've done for you. Can I ask you this Sunday morning, don't you forget what God's done for you. If you're saved in the grace of God, don't you forget what God's done for you now.
Amen.
Don't you forget that. The same God that saved you is that same power that it took to transform your life is available to you. It's available to us, brethren. Please hear me. Please. And so God said, don't you forget now, I'm the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You remember what happened in Exodus chapter number 3? God said, Moses, take your shoes off, come here, and I need to talk to you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, all right? He said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and he said, I want you to tell those people that you have come, I've heard their cries, I've seen their affliction, and I want you to go back and I want you to tell them that I sent you to pull them out of there. And Moses said, oh, he said, I don't know that I could do that. He said, well, you know they're going to ask by what authority you do this. And who should I say sent me? Are you listening? God said, I want you to give them a name. Because there's power in this name, Moses. And I don't ever want you to forget it. As a matter of fact, if you'll read all of chapter 3, God actually says, I want this to be a memorial for generation after generation after generation. Don't you ever forget where I found you. Don't you ever forget what I've done for you. You use my name in victory. Don't you use my name in vanity. Don't you use my name lightheartedly. Don't you make me the butt of some joke. You use my name in honor. You use my name with respect. Because I've done something for you that no one else could do. I brought you out of the place of bondage. And Moses said, well, God, I know they're going to ask me. I know your people. I was there in Pharaoh's palace. I watched your people. I know they're going to ask me, who sent you? Whom shall I say? What am I going to tell them, Lord? Who sent me? He said, you tell them, I am that I am has sent thee. The self-existing one. What a name, amen. What a name. What name am I going to give them that sent me to deliver them? He said, there's power in this name, Moses. Don't you ever forget this name, Moses. You tell them that Jehovah God, the self-existing one, he depends on no one. He gets counsel from no one. No one can stop him. What a powerful God we serve. He said, that name is the name that you're to go in. Amen. He said, you go in that name. And he did. You say, what happened, preacher? They came out, amen. That's just like when the devil had his wicked claws on me and his wicked claws on you. And someone, thank God, prayed and touched heaven for us. And when I called out to God in Jesus' name, he said, devil, take your hands off of him. Now I'm free, amen. Free. Free. Delivered from bondage. He said, don't you take my name in vanity. You take my name in victory. Brethren, I'm telling you, we have victory in Jesus today. There's victory in that sweet name. Thank God for victory. Amen. 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 I might get a little excited here before long. There's personality in that name. The Lord. Jehovah. God. Elohim. There's power in that name. Amen. There's power. I am that I am. There's protection in that name. Listen to this. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. The righteous flee into it and is safe. Amen. Oh, thank God. How many times has the devil been on my trail? Amen. And I found refuge in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is real this morning. Amen. It's real. Refuge. Refuge. It's our hiding place, brethren. Amen. That's not going to shake me up, sister. Amen. Refuge. When you get set free, you're happy about it. Amen. I'm talking about power. Power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, I've been praying. God, in the name of Jesus, set my little grandbaby free. Amen. In the name of Jesus, set my little grandbabies free. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I pray the devil off of your back. Listen, if you would just pray in the name of Jesus, get hold of glory, amen. I'm telling you, some things will begin to happen. Some things will begin to happen. We've gotten so stiff and starchy. Hey, don't you laugh at this now. Don't you laugh at this. Don't you use God's name in vain now. Don't you do that. God made it very clear, I will not hold them guiltless. Don't you do that. So we find there's personality. in that name. There's power in that name. There's protection in that name. The devil on you? The devil trying to wreck your home, wreck your family? Is he? Is he? Is he trying to wreck your marriage? Trying to wreck your marriage? Well, if he's not, I'm surprised. Isn't that right? If he's not, I'm surprised. And you should be concerned if the devil's not coming after you. There's something not right. You run to Jesus. Write that verse down. Proverbs 18:10. I'm telling you, it's real. Not only is there personality, and there's power, and there's protection, there's provision. Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." John 16:24. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You got to ask it in that name. I'm telling you right now, brethren, you say, "Well, old preacher, you mean I can ask anything in Jesus' name?" That's not what the Bible nowhere says that. I can ask anything and God will give it to me. The Bible nowhere says that. But I tell you what it does say. You ask God for something that Jesus can put his name and his stamp of approval on, and the Bible says that God will give it. Amen. See, a lot of times we've been asking God what we want. Right. I need to be asking God what he wants for me. Amen. And as long as I'm asking God to give what he wants for me, Amen. The Bible has promised. Amen. He's promised it, brethren, that God will give it to me. Amen. We just need to change the way we go about asking. We've been asking a lot about, God, give me, do this for me. I want to know what he has for me. God, give me all that you have for me. Give me all you've got for me. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I've missed too much already. I don't want to miss it. Don't you miss it either. Now, you'll miss it. You'll go through life on about half of what God has for you if you're not careful. About half. Some folks go through with less than that. You don't have to. I'm telling you. Amen. I'm talking to you this morning about that name. That name that is sweeter than any name. Amen. What a name. Amen. The name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, sweetest name I know. Amen. There's no name for God like Jesus. Amen. Amen. The last name that God said, I want you to know about me. He said, the last name I want you to know that is my name is the name of Jesus. It means Jehovah saves. Amen. Amen. Jehovah is my salvation. Amen. That's the last name that God gave us for himself, the name of Jesus. Let me give you one more, and I'll be through today. We'll want to give you the positives and the negatives tonight. We didn't get to, I told you this is a long introduction. You can't say you wasn't forewarned. I'm talking to you about that name. See, if we're not careful, I'm just being real with you this morning. We'll read verse number 11. Look at it now. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we'll think, well, I don't use that word, preacher. Can I tell you there's so much more to that than somebody attaching damn to the end of God's name? Now, you teach your children, don't you dare use that name. But there's a lot more to teach our children than not just to use that name with this commandment. And we'll pick up there tonight. But before we close our Bibles and have prayer, I want to give you something. Now, with all that said, preacher, the name, it means something. The personality of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the provision of God. Isn't God good? Amen. Come on now, isn't God Amen. Good? Amen. God is good, brethren. God is good. Yes, he's good all the time, sister. Yes, he is. He's good whether we realize it or not. God's good. Amen. I just think it's high time we wake up and realize it. I want to give you this. There's praise. Because God is all of that, there is praise. Psalm 8:1. This week, I was sitting at my desk. And God laid little Ellie on my heart. Kirsten. And God brought this verse of scripture to my mind. And I texted her and I wanted her to know, I'm praying for you. You're a good mom. You're a good lady. And I'm praying for that little girl. I just know that that God is going to complete what he started in her life. And I text her Psalm 8, the whole psalm, but Psalm 8:1, and it ends this way, says this: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What a name. I'm so glad that I know that name. I'm so glad that I can call on that name. I'm so glad that I realize the relevancy of that name, the power, the provision. Won't you come and magnify the Lord with me? Exalt his name, the psalmist said. You know what reply I got when I sent Kirsten this? She said, that is one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture. I didn't know that. And so we just kind of had a moment where we said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Is God's name excellent to you? Don't use it in foolish jesting. Don't use it vainly. Use it in victory. When you pray, pray in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pray in that name that's above every name. Take the name of Jesus with you. Amen. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Amen. Precious name.
Amen.
Oh, how sweet.
Amen.
Hope of earth.
Amen.
And joy of heaven.
Amen.
Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen.
What a name. And God just constantly wants to manifest it to us. Let's stand to our feet. Well, I did get through the introduction. And if the Lord be willing, I had another message planned for tonight, but I do want to give you the negatives. There's three negatives. I'll give you the points and we'll pick them up tonight. Don't you take God's name in vanity through profanity. Don't you take God's name in vanity through frivolity. Don't you use God's name frivolously. And let us not take God's name in vain in hypocrisy. Some people claim the name but don't wear it well. So I'm not going to come tonight. That's all right. God will track you down. But take it positively. Right? Wear that name. Wear that name. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, Colossians 3:17. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wear it, share it, and bear it. That's the positive way. That's victory. Let's bow our heads together.